So this is, I mean, we do review sometimes some pretty random stuff, but this one's extra random, you know, where I wonder sometimes, like, who would ever find this and care what we think about it? Maybe no one. Maybe this will just have no views. But it's just kind of fun to watch a totally random thing I never heard about before sometimes. So this was, we were watching some Billy Bunter recently, and the guy who uploaded those to YouTube, what few Billy Bunters there are, I just looked at his channel and what other stuff he had uploaded and sorted it by the things that had the most views. And the one that, other than Billy Bunter, that came up at the top, it's called The Adventures of PC-49. And I assume this doesn't ring any bells for you because it's a British thing.
Definitely never heard of it.
So there is, it's got its own wiki page and stuff. There's a little bit of info. Basically, it seems that I thought this was a TV show, but I think it's actually a B movie from 1949. So it's kind of in the middle where it's only 67 minutes. So it would be a little long for a TV show, but short for a movie. And it's yeah, The Adventures of PC-49 investigating the case of the Guardian Angel. And from what I can tell, I think it's based on some stories from kind of like an adventure serial, you know, that's in like a book for young folk, you know, one of those like Hardy Boys sort of era things. So I think it will be a little more like, I guess this was like the matinee B movie, you know, like the kids are going to see some adventure thing, and before it started, they would watch The Adventures of PC-49. And they made a second one at some point in 1951, and it's starring, I guess we'll see if you know any of the names. It's starring Hugh Latimer.
Latimer. I don't know.
And it looks like most of his stuff, I guess he was in quite a bit of stuff, but I think he was mostly known, I guess, as just an actual stage actor. And the other guy is John Penrose.
No, can't say I know these names.
So yeah, fair enough though, but that's just good to, you know, to set us in space, like what we're watching here. It's a B movie based on an adventure serial for young readers starring people that, you know, were B movie actors of the late 40s and early 50s that we don't know who they are. So, you know, I mean, that doesn't mean it'll be bad, you know, it could be kind of cool, but it is just like not a well-known thing necessarily, maybe not especially remembered, but on this one guy's YouTube channel, it does have a lot of views. So yeah, basically it's just fun to watch a thing that has no connection to anything, just a thing we otherwise would never have seen.
Yeah, let's go check it out because some of that stuff that we have watched over the years that's really, late 40s, early 50s, some of it, especially the British stuff, has been excellent.
Yeah, and it can be kind of nice in some ways too. I don't know. It's interesting because, like, it doesn't sound like a kid's thing. So, Police Constable Archibald Berkeley Willoughby, geez, that's a British name, infiltrates a gang specializing in stealing loads of whiskey from lorries. He adopts the alias Vince Kelly, but one of the gang members, Skinny Ellis, recognizes him as a cop. So, you know, I mean, it sounds like it could be a normal detective type cop movie, but it can be kind of fun sometimes when it's a kid's thing. I don't know, just to make it a little lighter, you know, it's not super heavy, but yeah, who knows? And again, even I guess actually the fact that this has a Wikipedia entry is also a good sign because there's a lot of stuff out there that is really truly forgotten that nobody remembers at all. So yeah, this movie feels like it's right in the middle of a lot of things. So yeah, I guess we'll just check it out and see how it is.
All right, well, let's check it out.
Oh, well, here's, I guess, a thing. So this does connect to something. The production company is Hammer Films that made all of the classic horror films.
Okay, Christopher Lee. I'm thinking Christopher Lee and all those vampire movies from the late 60s and early 70s. Hammer was famous for those.
I thought that was all that they made. I didn't know that they made cop movies, so.
Oh, no. Their name, Hammer Films, shows up in a lot of British stuff around that time, but they're really well known for the Christopher Lee vampire type stuff.
Yeah, so that's interesting. At least that sort of ties it into something. That's kind of nice. Yeah, of just like a Hammer film that is not a horror. That's kind of cool.
Okay.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's good. I'm glad I figured that out. That's something. That's something we can sink our teeth into.
My name is Archibald Barclay Willoughby. A rather fancy name for a plain copper, but that's what I am. Maybe you know me better as PC-49. I'm a uniformed police officer attached to S Division. Pretty much the same sort of fellow as you see on traffic control, or handing out the odd parking ticket, or pounding the beat, as I was doing on the night when it all started. A bitterly cold night that had me wishing I'd picked some other kind of job. I was browned off properly when...
So, what did you think of the adventures of PC-49?
Well, that is what they used to call a B-grade movie.
Yeah. So it looks like I did a little more research, and not only were they books, actually I might have misunderstood that, even if there even were books, but there were radio serials, I guess, was how this was mostly known. So that does kind of make sense, because you can imagine this quite easily as a radio show. It's just this is the deluxe version where you get actual actors to do the stuff, but it does follow that kind of pattern.
It was okay. I wouldn't necessarily call it a kid's movie, like a kid's, I mean, kids would like that, but well, it was a B-grade movie. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I guess it was maybe walking that line a little bit of, yeah, maybe not necessarily a kid's movie, but like, so if someone goes to the theater for a matinee and they're an adult, they would have no problem with it. But also if there were some kids, I'm sure it'd be no big issue. Nothing too too untoward happened in that. But yeah, what made me laugh about it, I guess, is because, you know, that 40s era detective police story, you know, it makes me think of Mickey Spillane and Raymond Chandler and that type of stuff. And this did kind of have that feeling, like even the way it was shot when he was searching out the criminals and he's smoking and he's got his hat on and his big coat with his big collar on his coat. And, you know, it had the visual style of those stories. But they're so gritty and hard-boiled, the American ones, where this one, he was so prim and so proper. And I guess that's kind of the point, is that he's a university guy and maybe he's a little bit wet behind the ears still. But just, it was so British of, you know, she brought me a spot of tea while I was out on the night. Like literally some lady brought him tea to warm him up while he was outside doing, walking the beat. And that traditional scene where the police chief, you know, has to yell at you, you know, of like, I don't like your methods. You know, I'm the police chief around here. In this case, it was, Archibald, I'm not so sure about how you're following this investigation. And everything was so prim and proper. But thankfully, when he infiltrated the gang, at least he did take on a different accent. Because if he had kept talking like that, it would have been ludicrous. You know, they would have caught him in a second.
And there were some surprises in it, like when the ma who was running the, I mean, she just seemed so innocuous at first. Here she is just running the restaurant, and she's obviously the owner of the restaurant. And she just seems like a secondary character in the background who's running the restaurant. She kind of knows people, and she's always getting her little waitress there to make the cup of teas and deliver the cup of teas. And then when she pulls out the truncheon, when we find out that she really is the boss of all this stuff in here, she comes out with the truncheon and she smashes the young waitress over the head. You're like, geez, I didn't see that coming.
And I guess that could be where also maybe it falls a little more into the young adult thing. Is just if you were a kid in the theater. Yeah, it's just, I guess it's the beauty of being a kid, right? You just can get so much more wrapped up in that. Like for us, we're like, oh, that's interesting. That's a, you know, didn't necessarily expect that. Where maybe if you were a kid, you'd be like, oh no, oh my God, you know, like, what's going to happen? But yeah, it is interesting that notion of the B movie, because we obviously still have those. We have lots of movies and TV shows that aren't that good, but they're just not as delineated. Like it's interesting to think that you went to the theater to watch something else. So your expectations for PC-49 were pretty low. You're like, yeah, that's all right. This is just the thing they play before the movie I actually came here to see. So it doesn't matter if it's not that good. It's a bonus movie, you know?
No, but I think in theatrical days, I mean, I don't think Fredericton was the only place that was like this. I think this was a very common thing everywhere. Like in Fredericton, for example, we had the Gaiety Theater and we had the Capitol Theater. That's what Capitol we used to call the Laugh and Scratch. The Gaiety always played the top-notch movies, you know, the Gone with the Winds and those kind of things. But the Capitol paid all those Hammer movies. That's why I know so much about Hammer films and all those Vincent Price and Christopher Lee and all those Dracula movies and everything, because they always played at the Laugh and Scratch. Always, oh, they would never have played at the Gaiety. Oh, never. And I think that in the days of early cinema, I bet if you checked it out, you'd find that in major locales that they had the theater that showed the proper type movies, and then they had the B movies. And this would have, this never would have played at the Gaiety ever.
So I see what you mean. Yeah, like I'm thinking of it like a double feature. But yeah, I suppose the B movie is not necessarily connected. I just assumed, I guess, because it's short in this case, you know, it's not a full movie length, that it was probably paired up with a second movie. But I suppose, yeah, they didn't have to be. This could be the whole thing, the whole shebang.
Oh, no. It has to do with high class and low class. Right. And lowbrow people would go to see the B movies. And it's like records. You had your hit side, and then you had the B side. And some of the B side records of the day were far superior to the A side. But the A side was what was chosen by promoters and radio executives and all that. They determined that that would be what was played. But when people started buying records and started hearing the B side, and it was like, hey, the B side's better. Now, I'm sure there are B movies out there that are really quite superior, but they just weren't of the class. Like, they would not have been Oscar class, for example. They're considered low life, and low life people went to see them and enjoyed them.
Yeah, it's not Lawrence of Arabia, right? I guess that's also where this movie is in an odd spot, I guess, is because the B movies that are still quite famous today, I think mostly of like Russ Meyer movies and stuff like that, like things that are remembered because they're kind of crazy and they kind of went too far, you know, I Spit on Your Grave or whatever, like these movies that did things that a fancy movie wouldn't do. So I guess this movie is a little bit stuck because of the younger audience thing. It can't, you know, get away with being too lascivious, you know, so it can't stand out in that way. So yeah, it is just kind of I guess it did feel more like a TV show more so than a movie.
To me, it was it's what I remember when I saw a lot of B movies in the day. And that's when I say it, that's a real B movie, not real high class acting, not a plot that's not too bad. Lots of action in it, but definitely not really high quality.
So I did do a little bit of research because I know Hammer from, you know, its reputation, but I don't really know the Hammer movies that well. It's more like if I watch a documentary about horror movies or something, there's always a section about Hammer horror. So I was a little, again, surprised that this was a Hammer movie. And I did a little research, and apparently they did sci-fi movies and comedy and all kinds of stuff. But it was mainly, I guess, that the big run of the Hammer horror didn't start until just after this. It started in the early 50s. So I guess that was the case with Hammer, is that in the early days, they did do a lot more varied stuff. Because I guess they started in the 30s, 1935. So this was one of the earlier Hammer movies where they just did different genres. And it seems like in the 50s, once they hit it big with the horror thing, they really went heavy into that. And to this day, there's still versions of Hammer that still exist, and yeah, it's still horror. Horror forever now. But yeah, that is kind of neat to see that this is what they were doing before all that really kicked off.
It wasn't so wonderful that I would say, oh my God, I got to see another one of those. That was enough for me.
Oh, here's something though. Maybe I should try to find some of these. This could be kind of interesting. The Hammer comedies. So Hammer were less well-known for their comedies, but they made a number in the 50s and early 60s, returning to the genre in the 70s. Okay, so they did do the comedies alongside the horror stuff. But listen to these names. Again, these British names. Don't Panic, Chaps, from 1959. Watch It, Sailor. The Old Dark Horse. A Weekend with Lulu. But this one really stood out to me. I Only Arsked. But it's spelled ARSKED, you know? I Only Arsked. Like, it's just weird with the British accent, or Scottish is the example I'm going to give here, where have you ever heard the stupid joke of, the name Mike Hunt? And if you, like, you know, a phone call from Mike Hunt, and if someone says it, it sounds like they're saying my cunt. But in the Trainspotting book, which... you know, it was all written in Scottish dialect. They had that joke, but it was Mark Hunt. because if you say Mike Hunt, it doesn't sound right in their accent. So they literally changed the name to Mark. So that's what this is like too. I only asked. Like, why is there an R in that word?
Because that's how they pronounce it.
Yeah.
They sound like the Hammers. I don't know if they did them, but the Carry On movies and that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who did the Carry On movies, but this would be the kind of thing that would probably be Hammer-like or B movies.
Yeah, it's just funny that, yeah, like the Carry On movies are very famous comedies, and the horror, Hammer horror are very famous horror. But yeah, like trying to cross over into each other's genres. Like sometimes you just hit it big with a specific thing, and that's it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if how easy it is to find these, but maybe I'll try to find a Hammer comedy because it's kind of neat to just see these, the other side of Hammer, the other stuff they were doing.
And one thing I have to say about this movie here, it was very strong into British lower class dialect. Like it took me, there were some of it at the beginning, I was finding it hard to make out what they were saying because the dialect was quite strong. But as you watched it, you could kind of pick it up.
Oh, well, good news. I only asked 1958, enhanced with remastered audio. Someone uploaded it 1 year ago. It has 800 views. So, yeah, for next week, let's watch that. We'll see
Okay.
what that's all about.
Okay.